Bible says if you confess your sins one to another, then he'll forgive them. And most of the time when people want personal ministry, it's because they don't want anybody to know about their mess. And the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The Bible says, if my people called by my name would humble themselves and pray, I would turn and heal their land, turn from their wicked ways, then I would heal their land. And we all have bought some lies with that, that that means our praying is humbling ourselves. Folks, prayer is not humbling yourself. Get real. Prayer is an awesome privilege that belongs only to someone that Jesus Christ lives in. Prayer is talking to God. I mean, how pious to think that's humbling. I mean, I'm being real. Humbling yourself is saying, God, I got this sin issue, and I don't know what to do with it. And then he says, confess it to one another, and I'll set you free. And if you've hung around at all, you begin to realize everybody's as messed up as you are. Maybe in different areas, maybe different things, but sin is sin to the Lord. And there's what Satan has done in people's lives, whether he made you a victim or the one who victimized, it's all the same devil working. And so the reason you'll see so many people will have such liberty to come up for altar calls that you can't believe Christians would come up for is because we don't care what anybody thinks except God. And you get free on God's terms, not your own terms. And when you get desperate enough to get free, you don't care what anybody thinks. You just don't care at all what anybody thinks. And it's such a relief to not care what anybody thinks. And the people who want to judge it and gossip about it are just breaking spiritual law that's going to come back at them. Not that we want it to, but that's just the way it works. And so the main thing is that we just want to get free. And so one of the things we're going to pray is about a spirit of error, spirit of deception. And the way the Lord brought this to my understanding is I have fought migraine headaches for years. God took them totally away for about 5 or 6 years when I went and got prayed for by Marilyn Hickey, right when I first got into the charismatic stuff. Then they started coming back slowly. And I can minister with one. It doesn't even faze me. But I thank God tonight he took it before I got here. But I was very sick last night and sick all day today, and it finally lifted at about 5. I was going to come. I've never allowed anything to stop me from showing up. Because when I'm in the anointing, I feel great. So it doesn't matter what Satan's trying to do. Don't let Satan order your steps by what he puts on you. But, you know, I've changed some of my eating habits, and if you came last year, I always had a biggie Pepsi, and now I drink water. You know, little things of reaping and sowing that go along with this. But there's still spiritual laws usually. So I couldn't understand when Easter, I felt like I just had to go see the movie Jesus Christ Superstar. Now, if you've never seen it, it was a big controversy in the 70s. For me, it was the first time I ever saw the Bible on screen in any way, shape, or form. And it actually caused me and lots of others to go back to the Word to see if this was true. And I found a lot of it was true. And I really couldn't understand why the church was in such an uproar about it. What is so awesome about God, what's meant for evil, he'll turn to good. And that's the key. It was meant for evil. So I watched this movie. And I sat there with my boys and I told them where the errors were. That, you know, if you ever saw it, they made Jesus look like he knew he was God's son, but they didn't really prove it to anyone else beyond a shadow of a doubt. Although there were some supernatural things that happened with gifts of wisdoms and things that kind of really indicate it because they stuck to the Bible, but there was a perversion there. It was subtle. But they really made him more of a man. Anyway, there was just some things going on. But it was the first time to me that I thought that Jesus could be real. That you could actually have a relationship with him. I'm sure that's not what Satan meant to happen, but it happened for a lot of people. It was really used to kind of spark part of the Jesus movement. Well, then I got saved and everything. Everybody told me how horrible that movie was, so I threw out my albums, I threw out the movie, and that was it. And so it was kind of strange when I really felt like I was supposed to watch it. And I watched it, and I actually enjoyed it. And I kept telling my kids, well, you know, this part's not true, and this didn't really happen, and let's go look this up, so that the error wouldn't get into their lives. Anyway, I didn't think much more of it. That was Easter. But I've noticed that I've had an awesome time with God, but I hadn't had that worship time with the Lord that I normally have on a regular daily basis. And part of me was just like, well, it's probably just because I'm doing this other thing with God. But there was this grieving. There was this kind of what's going on. So last night when I got this terrible headache, I mean, horrible headache, like somebody took an axe and right down my head. And that kind of puts you to your knees and say, God, what is wrong? You know, why won't this go away? Why can't I rebuke this? What's happening? And as I was through the night, I was praying and talking to God, and something about being sick really does make you forgive your judgments of other people, and it really gives you compassion of how do people who are going through horrible diseases and things even hold on to that relationship with God. And it really does humble you. And the Bible talks about suffering in your body will cause you to quit sinning. Not that God brings suffering, but let's face it, Satan does. But anyway, at one point, the closest thing to torment I've ever experienced was those songs from Jesus Christ Superstar going through my head so loud, and I couldn't stop them. I've never had anything like that before. It was horrible. It was so horrible that it was about 3 or 4 in the morning, depending on if I looked at the clock we changed or the one we didn't change. And and at that point, I don't remember which one was right. I didn't care. But I had to go outside and go into my van to get my really good praise music. And I had to put a Walkman on and turn that up for over 90 minutes, super loud, to drown out this other stuff. And that's when I realized there's something really wrong with this. And I began to really repent, and the Lord really began to show me the spirit of error and how it could take you down into deception, and how it was deliberately sent when you watch things or when you listen to the wrong kind of music that's not neutral. It's either of God, neutral, or of the devil. And when it's of the devil, there's a purpose there. And music is very powerful. You hear a song that you knew, you know, haven't even thought of for 20 years, and you walk into the mall or something and they're playing it, and you all the words come back to you. You know? And most of the songs I ever listened to were pretty innocent. I mean, I was a Barbra Streisand, Barry Manilow kind of person. For real. And so I didn't have a whole lot to have to cast down with that. But I can't imagine with the junk that's out there now, we are going to have an insane generation of tormented souls coming up. And when I see how Jesus Christ Superstar was tormenting me, I can't imagine when they straight out listen to blasphemies and murder and hate and suicide, and there's such a power in demonic music to torment. Folks, the church needs to clean up. We're going to have to be ready to be unbelievable rescuers in this last day. We got to get free first. So anyway, and it was kind of not good, but what's meant for evil, God turns to good. Because as I was repenting and told the Lord I'd never, ever watch this movie again, and I renounced it, and I really realized how it had put a wall between the Lord and myself, and I felt so bad, you know, that you would go after another. Because, see, I saw the Lord. I mean, I really saw the Lord right before my daughter's funeral. And he was just so awesome. But after watching this movie, whenever I would close my eyes to think about the Lord, I'd see this actor. And it was like, Lord, I don't want to exchange the real for the fantasy. And so there was a real spirit of seduction on that movie, an unclean spirit. And it's the same kind of spirit I guess that would go along with the whole superstar thing. It's the same kind of idolatry that makes girls jump up and down and scream at the Beatles or guys at Britney Spears. There is a real idolatry in that junk. It's a real idolatry. This stuff is not playing. You know, this stuff is just not playing. So, and I think the more you walk with the Lord and the stronger you are where you are at the Lord, the more the enemy can attack you if you move into sin. And I asked the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, I felt like you were telling me to watch that. I said, so what's going on? And the Lord said, how else would you have seen that spirit of error that was planted in you? You haven't thought of that in years. What would have made you think about it? The Lord said, now you could have caught it right when it started coming on. But where that counterfeit had never been renounced and brought out, you were enjoying it. Then you tried to justify it. And I said, oh, yuck. You feel so bad. Conviction really does. Conviction doesn't make you feel bad like I can never be forgiven. Conviction makes you feel like, God, I let you down. True conviction is, God, look what I've done to you. That's true conviction. You know, when David was convicted about Bathsheba, his whole heart was, God, look what I've done to you. That's true repentance. Not look, I got caught, or not look, I'm being tormented, not look what this is doing to me. But true conviction, a true fear of the Lord, a true love of God, is look what I've done to you. I've exchanged this awesome, real, intimate relationship with you for a dumb movie. And I didn't understand what you're doing. Well, then, this was kind of cool. I was praying about it. I started getting migraines probably about the age of 16. And that's when I saw that movie. And I've been asking God for the seed that opened the door for the migraines. And so as I was being tormented and going bonkers hearing these stupid songs and saying, Lord, help me, and crying and the dog whining and everything else, I said, Lord, set me free from this. And I said, why is this happening now? And the Lord said, this is the seed to the migraines. This is where rebellion got in. And you never close this door in your heart. You didn't watch it because other people said it was bad, but you yourself never saw how bad it was. Actually, I asked the Lord about it with my sons, and he said, no, because you changed the spirit of error. Every time there was error, you told them. Every time it wasn't of me, you told them. Where when you first saw it, you didn't see that. You didn't know anything. So, okay, Lord. So one of the things that we're going to deal with tonight is that spirit of error. And we've prayed this before, and I've prayed it in my own life before. But a lot of times, there can't come true repentance until you realize where you took it in. You see what I'm saying? Because if you look in the Old Testament, when they wanted to repent or turn from, they had to renounce. You can't renounce something that you don't think was bad. I wish there could just be a straight out, I renounce everything that you don't like, God. You know? And maybe when the power is stronger in the church, we'll have a quick revelation of all these things, and it'll happen. As for now, it's not happening yet. Maybe it never will. Maybe he wants us to strategically undo the works of the enemy in our life by his Holy Spirit. Because he said, I've come to undo the works of the enemy. That's what the Bible says. Jesus says, I've come to undo the works of the enemy. One cool thing when I've been reading this Greek text, every place where we have the word salvation, in the Greek, it's deliverance. He says, he's come for those who want to be delivered. He said, he's come to bring deliverance. It's pretty cool. And everywhere, every place in the Greek that I've seen so far that talks about him calls him master. Every place. It's pretty neat. It's actually got a lot less words than all the words we've put in there, but he just says it straight on. He's the master who has come to bring deliverance to whoever wants it. If you don't want deliverance, you don't get salvation. Because to be delivered from something is to recognize that there's something you need to be delivered from. To want to just go to heaven. Who wouldn't? Do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? Oh, I'll go to heaven. I'll get saved. No, the Bible says he's come to bring deliverance to those who want to be delivered. So our being here, desiring to be delivered and changed, that's a true work of sanctification. Only the Holy Spirit working in us because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Father can bring deliverance. Other people can cope with junk. Other religions can hide it. But only Jesus Christ has been given the authority and the power to set us free. And the church, which, by the way, every single place in the Greek is called the assembly. The assembly of believers are the ones who go after deliverance and want to be made whole. And the word whole is always made complete. It is so cool how many times Jesus says that he's come that you can be complete. Not just in the Ephesians and Colossians where it's in our translation, but a lot of other places. It talks about to be complete and one with him. I want to be complete. And to be complete means to be one with him. Actually, every place it says perfect, to be perfected in the Greek that I'm seeing, it says to be completed. Well, think of it this way. If we're being completed, that's an ongoing work, isn't it? When you tell your kid, complete your homework, you don't expect it to be done, boom, that second. You expect them to work on that homework and complete it. And the Lord chose to use the word that he's come to complete us. That we're being completed. We're being perfected. Is the translation. So I just encourage us as we enter into these last of the last days to go after complete healing. To go after complete deliverance. Don't just take whatever Satan dishes at you and think you've got to live with it. And sometimes it's more deep-rooted. Sometimes there's more things involved than just one thing. So sometimes it can be like these migraines, what I'm eating, or a control issue. A lot of times if you have a control issue, you'll have stress and migraines. But God dealt with that last year at NAGS. Took me down right in the middle of your meeting. Boop, goodbye. Everybody sitting around. The speaker's gone. Okay. Is anybody got a CD? So anyway, and Karen got a great deliverance this week too that we're going to do tonight. Which is really going to set a lot of you free, which is really cool. Now we got to learn to live with her, but we're doing it. Yeah. You'll understand when I tell you what it was. Hey, I like it. I'm the one who prayed for. So, okay, Lord. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So anyway, I want you to stop right now and ask the Lord. Now, if it's something you've already really turned from and repented from, you don't have to do it over and over, okay? Let God deal with new stuff. Everybody doesn't have to come up for stuff you've been up for, although it could be a new area. Do you have a song you can sing while we let the Spirit bring this to people's thinking? We need a song now. I want a quieter song because I want you to really let the Holy Spirit speak to you tonight and show you. Maybe you were into science fix. Maybe you were into some demonic music. Maybe into some intellectual junk. Anything. If you have not repented forever believing in evolution, we've had that one time before here and a lot of people came up. Evolution is a spirit of deception. It's anything that Satan would put out there to put seeds in you that go against God and his word. No matter how subtle. Some of it is blatant. Okay? Heavy metal, suicide music, whatever this stuff is. I can't even stand to listen to it for 5 seconds. But some of it's more subtle. The blues, stuff about your wife's leaving you and you just, well, go get hit by a train or something. You know, all of those things. Country, you know, it doesn't matter how quiet it is. If it's about defeat and depression and losing and divorce, you know, all of those things, that's not from the Spirit of God. Stuff that makes you feel like you have to impress somebody to be loved. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm talking about all that seed that's thrown out there at you that has a spirit of error to it. Anything with murder. Do you see what I'm saying? Bible says, think on things that are lovely, pure, and of good report. That's what the Bible says. I mean, we may have to turn off the news. I have so many people calling or are on antidepressants or all these kind of things are suicidal. And all of them will tell you their mind goes crazy with bad thoughts, with wicked thoughts, with horrible thoughts. It got in through a spirit of error. Now, it could take in with it an unclean spirit, which we talked about that at the last meeting. If you've ever been into soap operas, those evening soap operas, all of that is an unclean spirit plus a spirit of error. You got to really stop and think. If you can't sit down and eat popcorn and watch it with Jesus, there is a problem. Does God really want us to be that holy? Yes. And if we can be that holy, we will be empowered by His Spirit. If we can be that holy, we will have peace. If we can live that holy, it's not that it's not fun. It's just you begin to be focused on the things of God. All of a sudden, you'll have real compassion. All of a sudden, you'll hate. There is nothing at all funny or cute about anything that Satan does. Nothing. Nothing. Well, you're a fanatic. Yeah, you should be. Fanatic and the word Christian should go together. If I'm supposed to be made in the likeness of God and He sent His Son to die to deliver me so I could come into that likeness, if His Spirit lives in me to empower me so that I can set other people free, then I am missing it. If I don't choose to really run after the things of God, and they're not boring. I do not have a boring life. My life was much more boring when I was watching soap operas. Now you live the book of Acts and you can't even tell everybody everything that happens to you because they would never believe you. All that can't be happening to you. All that can't be going on. And we haven't even begun to taste the real power yet. I'll tell you something about God. He's not into compromise. And the reason you don't have power in your life, power to heal the sick, raise the dead, set captives free, cast out devils. There's one reason you don't have it. And it's because you are not walking a holy, sanctified life empowered by the Spirit of God. That is the only reason. So don't blame anybody else. Begin to ask. Be honest with yourself. One thing about these meetings, especially here, get honest. Because who you can't fool God, and He's the only one who can empower you unless you get a religious spirit and get some demonic power. Let me say this. When you have something real with God, people are drawn to it. They really are. You can ask these people who have kids. If I go, I'm not even a kids person. I mean, I like them okay. If you're weird because you have a religious spirit, the kids don't want to get near you. If kids aren't drawn to you, don't think what you have is of God. People are drawn even intellectual people. If you get set free from pride, intellectual people are even drawn, even though they don't like it. They can't seem to pinpoint what they don't like, but they're still drawn. While Karen sings this song, and I guarantee you there's not a person in this room who hasn't had some spirit of error sowed into your life. But if the Lord really brings it to your heart and you can really see that it's something that you don't want anymore, then we're going to pray for deliverance from it. Okay, so everybody close their eyes while Karen is singing this, if you want to. I'm not in control, but it's just easier to talk to God if you're not looking at everybody. I tell you, God does something different. But Tuesday, these meetings, they're just so good to get free. just so good to get free. Let me read this to you. It's in Romans 11. What I am saying is this. Is it possible that God abandoned his people? Out of the question. I too am an Israelite descended from Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God never abandoned his own people to whom ages ago he had given recognition. Do you not remember what scripture says about Elijah and how he made a complaint to God against Israel? Lord, they have put your prophets to the sword, tore down your altars. I am the only one left, and now they want to kill me. And what was the prophetic answer given? I have spared for myself 7,000 men that have not bent the knee to Baal. In the same way, then, in our own time, there is a remnant set aside by grace. And since it is by grace, it cannot now be by good actions, or grace would not be grace at all. What follows? Israel failed to find what it was seeking. Only those who were chosen found it, and the rest had their minds hardened. Just as it says in Scripture, God has infused them with the spirit of stupor. Until today, they have not eyes to see or ears to hear. David too says, may their own table prove a trap for them, a pitfall, a snare. Let that be their retribution. May their eyes grow dim that they cannot see and their backs be bent forever. The spirit of stupor is the actual translation in the Greek, S-T-U-P-O-R. Karen's going to tell a dream first that she had. She's had to fight cancer and the rejection of a divorce, dealing with seeing where there was some denial in her life from past abuse. And just, I mean, it has really been a fun year for you, hasn't it, Karen? We wondered why God gave you a full-time job at the ministry. We didn't know it was for full-time inner healing and deliverance. But anyway, but as we were going through this, sometimes you get so tired of God constantly showing you things, but yet you're the same one who says, God, make me holy. God, give me power. God, change me. What do you think he's not going to? The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. And usually for you to see something, it's hard. If it was something simple, we would have seen it a long time ago. Those are what strongholds are. It's where our eyes are blinded. And that's what a true prophetic anointing of judging ourselves and letting God judge us through the prophets that are really moving in sanctification, holiness, who also will confess their own sins. I wouldn't let anyone pray for me, unless God really told me to, who couldn't be honest with you. The Bible says, unless I take the log out of my eye, I have no right to touch your splinters. The reason I start most of these meetings telling you what God dealt with me this week, it's so that you can see what God's doing in my life and how he teaches us and changes us and humbles us and breaks us. It's the opposite of pride. Brokenness is the opposite of pride. Humility is what comes when we see how much we desperately need the Lord and how much we can still hurt him and how far from him we can be when we don't have a clue. And God really knows when you walk with him how to really convict you and just pierce your heart as you really mature and begin to fall in love with him. So I'm going to let Karen tell this dream now, because when she told this dream, we didn't think that much of it. But then God began to deal with me and gave me the scripture. And then he began to put it together. And we realized that it's for a lot of us.
I had this dream like not too long after, you know, I had gotten victory over the cancer. And I had just kind of faced the divorce thing and really had peace about that and knew that God was, you know, I was healed from the rejection of the divorce and all. And I was really feeling like I had a lot of victory. Well, then I had a dream, and in the dream I was in a doctor's office, and they were checking, and there was something wrong with me, and they were checking my hearing, and the doctor said, I'm sorry, but you're going deaf. You don't have much longer, and you won't hear at all. And I remember even in the dream thinking, you know, I've just come through all of this. It looked like my life was turning around. Now I was going to have victory. I was going to start, you know, really living my life for the first time in a long time. And now this doctor's saying that I'm not going to be able to hear anymore. So at first it just really hit me really hard. Like, wait, this isn't right. This can't be right. And then, this just isn't fair or whatever. But then I remember saying, no, I'm just not going to receive this. And it went away. My hearing, was healed. So, but I still knew, even though at the end of the dream it was gone, I still felt like there was something coming that was going to,
that it was a warning from the Lord to take this serious, that he wanted to deal with an area.
Right.
Just because we share our lives with you. Karen is a very, very hard worker. But you would have to tell Karen everything to do, down to the almost standing there to see that it was done. I am a leader type and a problem solver. So I just do stuff. You know, I mean, I do like 50 different things at the same time and don't even think about it. And so it was kind of frustrating because I knew Karen is smart. I know she's called to this ministry. I know she loves God and she's anointed. But her potential was nowhere near being met because of something. And it wasn't because she was rebellious. It wasn't because she didn't want to. There was like a total missing part of her that could make decisions, that could just have the confidence to be out there doing what God's called her to do. And I began to think about it and pray about it and talk to a few people about it in love. I wasn't gossiping or anything. Y'all just don't know how hard this is to try to get to this stuff. But I always go, I go home. I don't want to tell her, Lord. I don't want to tell her. You know, this is a friend. Get somebody else. You know, we work together. And so, and then Karen, if you kind of mention it, she'd burst out crying and try harder. And it's like, it's not about that. You know, I said, tell me off or something. She could never, you know, tell you anything. And the Lord has this way when he wants to deal with something of really bringing it to the surface. So we could have 6 years of working together great, even needs and her being met through things in me that haven't been healed yet and vice versa. And then God begins to make everybody whole and complete in him. And so it's kind of this transition going on and we're wondering what's going on. And then the Lord, I was praying about it because I knew it was something to do with her being abused. Karen came out of a very abusive marriage where her ex-husband now, and she believed for him to the end. He's the one who went for the divorce. She would have kept believing had he not moved in with another woman and all this other junk. And it was basically over. And God began to really let her know, you know, God gives you out of marriage, and one of them is adultery and one of them is abandonment. And when you put both of them together, unless God does something very supernatural, it's over. So we had to deal with why Karen, you know, anyway, we went through a lot about denial where she kept thinking God told her he was going to save the marriage, but then didn't happen. What happened, Karen? God doesn't miss it. And we begin to see this denial thing. We begin to see all these lies about if you're not, when you get divorced, it ruins your life because she was from divorced parents and everything that happened to her bad with being molested and stuff came as semi a result of the parents' divorce. It wasn't with her dad or anything, but one of his friends. And so in her thinking as a little child, everything bad happened with divorce. And her mom, you know, had to go back to work. And all these things happened that as a little kid, it's like, this is because of divorce. So divorce was the enemy. So don't get divorced at any cost. Even if God gives you an out, there's this thinking, you know, with the stronghold there was that anything's better than being divorced. So we had to deal with all that, and God healed all that. And because of that, that scripture I read is what happens. A spirit of stupor comes on those who allows man to take God's place. What was it called in the other spirit of?
It's, lethargic.
Lethargic, which means just lethargy. You lose that zeal. You lose that ability to lead. You lose that ability to hear God for yourself. And I was at a church recently, and I go to a lot of churches, so don't figure out where. You could probably go to anyone and this would happen. But the leadership is really starting to see, we can't get these people to do anything. They're not anointed. Something's wrong. So now they're trying to preach to the people, you've got to have your own relationship with God. You've got to get anointed. And if they're there, that's good. Some of them aren't even preaching that yet, but it's starting to be preached, and you can't, you've got to be one with God, and we want to see you fulfilling the calls on your life. But if you look at the people, they're like blank. And the pastor's getting excited because he's really getting a revelation, and the people aren't getting it. That's why, that spirit is allowed to come in your life. If you're an abused wife or husband, which is usually a wife a lot of times, but not really, if you're a henpecked, quote, husband, somebody who just, okay, honey, whatever, you do whatever not to rock the boat. You do whatever not to have a fight. You do whatever not to hear it. What you're doing is you're taking on deafness. You're losing your right to have a say. You're losing your right to matter in life. You're basically giving up your identity to someone else. And a spirit comes in then, and you have no confidence that you can do it by yourself at all. You would stay in a horrible situation rather than the fear of having to trust God. You don't realize it, but that's what you fear. The reason you fear it is because of the spirit. Isn't this good? We've seen a lot of people get free from covering, from wanting man to be in charge, but a lot of us haven't repented to the place of renouncing the spirit in our own hearts if we ever really came under that doctrine. These people with the spirit will get so mad if they even hear this teaching. It's all in the Bible. It's in the Word. I'm not against anybody. I believe in the fivefold ministry. There's a real purpose for them. To build up, edify, and equip God's people to know God. God's people to minister by the power of the Holy Ghost. God's people to be apostolic. The church is anemic because a few people are looked to do everything. And they can't do it. And they're not supposed to be able to do it. And now they're trying to make people do it, but they can't figure out the spiritual laws that have been broken. I can. It's really, that spirit of stupor is what the world would call an enabling spirit. It's what's in you that enables an alcoholic husband. Or it's what's in you and enables somebody to control and manipulate you. It's something you take on to need somebody else to be in charge of your life. You need somebody to take care of you. You need somebody who's going to help you with things. Are you getting this? It's an actual spirit. It's not that it's your personality. And so like with Karen, it would drive me bonkers because I know she's not only on staff, she's on the board, she's an anointed woman of God. She could go and have her, quote, own ministry without even a problem. And guys bringing together teams these days, which is cool. But it was like, but you just want to shake these people. And what happens if somebody has a control spirit where they want to be in control, they get a self-esteem met by being in charge, and who's going to be drawn to them? Somebody who needs somebody in charge. And then because it's demonic, there's going to come abuse. Because it's demonic, there's going to come frustration and fighting. Same thing if you even take this on in the spiritual realm in the church. All of a sudden, you're almost forcing a person in leadership to shake you and make you do something. You're almost forcing them to control you. You're almost forcing them to make you sign up for the program or the agenda. Because they can't get you to do anything otherwise. Then they're taking on control, so God's going to zap them, and we got a big mess in the church. We have a big mess in our houses. So if God gives you this revelation, I want to get free from it. I don't want anything of the enemy. Those of you who judge anyone who's stuck in an abusive situation, or in a situation where children were abused, forget it. When that spirit's involved, you are so paralyzed with fear of having to make a move on your own. Can you see where that spirit stops you from having something really powerful with God? Can you see that? It's spiritual. Now, people, many times, you could have a control situation. We're not getting all the spiritual laws. There's so many. I don't know them all anyway. But for example, someone could have a very controlling mother. You know, major, everything has to go away. If you step on, you know, everybody's real. If you've got to act a certain way around somebody that you don't have to around other people, they have a spirit. Get used to it. And what that spirit does is you either get intimidated by it and you learn to, say a nice way, Well, you learn to, you know, do whatever it wants, just not to rock the boat, okay? The people who do this are the ones who get the spirit of stupor. The other way to handle it, if you don't know God, is rebellion. And you become controlling. You think you're going to get me, Mom? Wait till I'm 18. I'm out of here. Okay, so you got two things going. Both of them dysfunctional. One's swirling people off to be controlling and rebellious, and one's making a lot of people who lose their lives and let somebody else control them. Boy, Satan's good at what he does, isn't he? And he steals who we're supposed to be in Christ. One is not better than the other. They're both hurt people. It's both dysfunctional. And one's not better than the other. It's just how you chose with what Satan's done in your life to handle things. Okay? So the first thing we need to do, or let me say this. After we saw this thing, we went to lunch. And anybody who knows me, I don't think about this all the time. Do you know how nuts I'd be if I sat around thinking about all y'all's problems all the time? Yeah, I'm serious. I don't think about it at all. Unless I'm in prayer and God really brings a specific person or need to me. Otherwise, I just spend time with God in His presence, having an awesome time reading the Word, being built up, encouraged, getting cool new stuff or whatever He wants to show me. But if you hang with me, you would think I constantly sit around thinking about you. I don't. Thank you, God. But it's kind of weird. Doesn't it seem like that, though? So I go to lunch. We go to lunch. Me, Jenny, and Karen. I won't thinking about this. And all of a sudden I say, Karen, I don't know if I want you to do your Bible study anymore. And I said, because, you know, if it's becoming a click, blah, 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 blah. And really what I wanted was her to say, I want to do it. God's called me to do it. You can't take it. And instead I get this crying. I said, what's wrong? I'm not being mean. I'm just asking you to decide. Because when you have that thing, people can use you and use you and use you. And if you won't take on the control spirit, if you won't abuse people, you guys with this thing is very frustrating. Because you almost try to make us make your decisions. You try to make people who have a leadership gift make you do something. So if you don't want to do it, you won't say it. You won't even have an opinion about if you want to do it or not. So we could suck up every bit of energy that you have. Your whole family could fall apart because you're letting a person be in charge instead of God. So I don't like it. So I'm sitting there saying, well, Karen, I just want you to decide. And, you know, da, da, da. And Karen's crying. I'm really not being mean. I'm going, Jenny, am I being mean? No, you need to be mean. Pick on her, not me. No. And we already did you. We already did me. We did me. Anyway. But I feel so bad, you know, I'm like, oh, I didn't mean it. But it's God putting it together because I've never heard teaching on this. But anyway, so Karen just went to God and really prayed, and the Lord really showed it to her. And the other day in the car, I said, well, did you ever get the anointing break the yoke? She said, I guess so. I said, well, let's find out. And she's different. Now it's really weird. Now you come to the office and it's a little busy. Get this done. I'm doing this. You know, go for it. I'll go to the beach. See ya. But she didn't like the beach, so that works. But, well, the beach don't like you. They don't make suntan lotion strong enough for Karen. We take Karen to the beach. She puts a hat on. She has lotion from here to there. And she still gets burnt. Anyway. We do that, too. We do everything. She's got to be burning up there. We throw water on her to keep her cool. But anyway. But the bottom line is, there is a difference in her. It doesn't change who you are. A lot of people who are called shy or they're just the quiet type, it's not really true. Many times it's just that part of you has been stolen. She's still different than me. She's still got her personality. Thank God. Thank God we're all different. But now she can make decisions. If you're called to ministry and you don't get free from this, somebody with a Jezebel spirit or a control spirit manipulation can come into the meeting and absolutely take over. The other thing that was strange with Karen, just so some of you can clue in, Karen had a powerful intimacy with the Lord. And she had a gift of discernment beyond anything I've ever seen on anybody, including myself. And she would manifest powerful ways to pray, to do warfare, which is pretty cool as we've gone through some things together. But I never heard Karen say, God told me this. I never heard her say, God showed me to do this, ever. And I begin to question, Lord, why doesn't she ever hear you about directing her. Now, she'll hear you for praying for someone else. She'll hear you for interceding. She'll hear that area she was open. But Lord, when it comes to her hearing what you want her to do for different things, she can't hardly. When I used to say, Karen, pick out a song, she almost couldn't take it because of the Spirit. So God set her free. So how many of you feel like you need to be set free from this? Stand up. We know Tamara does. And Tamara's daughter, you need to be set free from this. Don't go through life and let some man marry you, beat the tar out of you, and then come to a meeting. If you got a control person and you may go more rebellion though too. It can go either way. Yeah. Right. Right. Just see, you know, if you've ever come under covering as a doctrine and really bought into it, then you have the Spirit. It's the only way you would buy into covering. It's the only way you would buy into covering. Why else would you let somebody lead you besides God? Back in line. Look, I got everybody. Okay, let me think how we're going to do this. Or let me ask God how we're going to do this. Ooh, 15 minutes. Oh, well, if we're late, we'll throw in an extra $75 and stay. All right, let's say this first. Lord Jesus, forgive me for letting someone else take your place. You paid so much to be my God, to be my head, to be my master. You're the only one who gave everything that I might belong to you. Forgive me for letting someone else take your place. Say, Father, set me free from the spirit of stupor that was sent against me to make me an enabler, to give me soul ties with people who abuse me or manipulate and control me, people who make me feel bad about myself. Father, you intended for me to be like Christ. He was confident in who he was. He had a relationship with you. He got direction from you. He was empowered by you. He had no fear of man. He just had a fear of God. A reverence for God. He was not a man pleaser. He was a God pleaser. I want to be like him. Your word declares I'm to be like him. Holy Spirit, forgive me for giving your job to man. I want you back completely in charge. I might mess up some, but you'll clean it up. I thank you, Lord, that you're not just my Savior, but you are my Master. And you own me. But you're a wonderful Master. You're the only one who can really look out for my good. You can use a husband. That's if you're a guy, a woman. And you can use people in leadership to guide and help me. You can use, this is women again, you can use a husband as a reflection of true love if he knows you and he's led by you. He'll lay down his life for me and I can submit to his headship because he submitted to you. But that doesn't take the place that you're the head of the church. And I'm part of the church. So help me, Lord, to give you your rightful place. In Jesus' name. Okay. I can feel this one. Ooh, how are we going to do this one? How is Karen going to do this one? There's enough. I think we'll both be praying, but how do you think? Should we do them in a circle? Is there a song? Try to figure. It's a bunch of them. I know I want to pray straight up for Tamara and Heather, so we could do that first. Maybe there's a song about him. Tamara and Heather, come here. You're not going to sit down. Let me get ladies just to be nice. Gina and Sandra, come and catch for me, please. See how nice God is? Say, Lord Jesus, set us free. Lord, we forgive because we understand how spiritual this is. But we want to be free from enabling the enemy to destroy us, to hurt us. Set us free and then be in charge of our lives. In Jesus' name.